Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 90, and I'd really like to thank the lads for coming on so soon after the last one, but it seems what a difference 48 hours can make, and my optimism smashed to smithereens, and what's that sound of that reality check hitting? So I wanted to do a quick one after the game. Just a few thoughts on a rant. I know it's only one game. We've seen far, far worse, but it just felt like a real kick in the bollocks. And sometimes I can be very childish with United. And there was a point, if you remember, if you've listened to a few of these in January, where Nick had the right hump and he was just going, shut up, shut up, shut up. Just sick of the negative talk. And that's where my mindset was yesterday. The world has gone to shit. There's a global pandemic out there. You know, whether we like it or not, we try and ignore it, it's fucking there. And I just wanted United to so badly cheer us up and create a bit of light that I was almost rowing with them all in the Red News Sellers group, because I was just, shut up, stop being so negative. We're going to win. 1-0 down, we're going to win. I just so desperately, the child in me. And even there was a point this morning where I thought, this sounds pathetic, but some of you will get it, that I just can't put, I've put a lifetime of this through United, and I've been through the 80s and that, but it affected my mood, and I'd had a nice day yesterday, but it absolutely flattened me. And I thought this morning, can I keep doing this? Can I keep putting myself through Manchester United? And it's not winning, because the best time we had was in the 80s, but it just felt. So it didn't teach us anything we knew. Nathan was pretty spot on with what he was saying, listening back. But it just, you know, like, we had to start the season well, and it immediately puts pressure. And I've put on the forum, you know, because we're a game behind, if we don't win Saturday, we'll be in the bottom three or near about. Imagine the media shitstorm, and you just want the pace to go a bit slower. So I don't think there was some Machiavellian, Ollie, you know, I need signing, so I'm putting TFM at right back and Daniel James. I think he just doesn't have the squad, and Wan-Bissaka might not be fit ready. We don't have a squad. And it is just so evident. A team who comes with a plan, and we will get better, I think. But it just felt like on day one of a season to be kicked in the bollocks, I was really gutted and upset, like real child. So I've got Nick, Nathan, Coggy and Shane again. I'll go, Shane.
Yeah, obviously it was just a poor performance all round. And I think for me, it confirmed what we discussed endlessly, that defence is not good enough. And if you've got a defence like ours, you need the midfield and attackers to dominate, to compensate for that. And I thought we were awful in possession yesterday, to be honest, with giving the ball away easily. So just proved the point that, you know, you need your top, you know, we need our better players like Bruno to perform. He had an off day. I can't really think of many positives in the performance. The only glimmer is, I think, last season, was it Chelsea we beat 4-0 first game? So, you know, the first game doesn't always indicate what's going to come thereafter. And let's hope that's the case. But as you say, it puts big pressure on us now to go away to Brighton and then, I think, Spurs next in the league. And you kind of think we've not got the easiest run coming up. And I just worry a little bit about this team not really having the strong mental resilience. So I think it's really important now, as you say, we beat Brighton. But I thought it was just poor round today. And then I'm sure we'll rant about it at some point. But the independent of that, the whole VAR farce for the penalty, it kind of like, you know, I was already feeling flat that we couldn't be at the game. Then a bit flat that we were playing badly. And then you kind of get a ridiculous penalty decision. And then the retake with a different player taking the penalty. I kind of felt like, you know, I might as well go upstairs in my teenage son's bedroom and play FIFA 20 and get the same experience. It was just absolute nonsense.
You know? But that's what, on another, you know, to add to the endless list of why you almost feel like taking the ball, you know, being very childish. VAR just kills me. I mean, and you won't get all season, you can bet your life there won't be more than fucking 5 re-kicks, you know, taken again for a goalie. And if you look at the photo, for fuck's sake. But you're picking it, you know, Palace deserved it. They had loads of chances. But it's just an endless fucking drawn out farce of it all, and I'm just sick and tired. And I didn't even have, like, if people said, "Oh, at least we didn't pay for that and we weren't there," but I looked at it the other way. If I'd have had Steve, Nick, Nathan, Chris, all the lads around me, I'd have had at least a, like, fucking gallows humour to get through, and we'd have had a drink after. But because you're on your own, you just feel fucking isolated and, like, seething. Nathan?
I think, like, everything Shane said, I think we just, I didn't feel confident going into it. I don't know why. Like, I know I always sound like I'm on a downer on them, but on the pods, but I don't know. It was just, I didn't feel confident going into it. And then that's the thing, as soon as you concede, like, that's Palace are so well drilled. It's like they deserve, like you say, they 100% deserve to win it, and it just didn't feel like, as soon as we went behind, I generally didn't think that we were going to bring it back. Defensively shocking, like Pogba was terrible, the number of times he gave it away, but that's the thing, no one looked good. Like, obviously Donny came on and scored, that was a slight highlight, but other than that, it was just dreadful.
The only positive, yeah,
I don't know what else to say.
But I don't think you're being a downer, Nathan. I think you're just being realistic, and I'm trying to kid myself. You know, what upset me, many things upset me yesterday, but that goal, for the first goal, that could have been any of probably 10 out of the last 15 goals we conceded. Lindelof gets done and Shaw isn't tracking his man. And you could say that, and that you're not going to coach that out of them anymore. That cannot be coached. No. They're just not good enough. And I could fucking... oh, God. But, you know, like, it's the hope that kills, and United's supposed to be... I just fucking want a bit of hope. Coggy? Am I getting carried away?
I'll start it off by saying I think we will play better than this. Or better than yesterday, anyway. We're capable of more. But it was just a total disaster. I'm puzzled by the team selection in the first place. I can understand that Wan-Bissaka and Greenwood didn't play because they'd been isolating. Pogba was unfit. You know, he's recovering from COVID. I don't know how bad he had it, but he's recovering from COVID. And you've got Donny the Dutch, who, off the back of a couple of internationals, keen to get going, had a good pre-season game against Villa, and he's on the bench. I thought that was strange. You know, we played Fosu Mensah at centre-half in a friendly last week, so we decided to play him at right-back this week. We played James down the right in a friendly, down the left in a friendly last week, and he looked actually quite decent, a position where he plays for Wales, and we put him on the right, where we have seen for the whole season he actually struggles. So, you know, the team selection and the formation, I was just puzzled with from the start, to be honest. But that doesn't excuse the terrible passing by the team, you know, particularly Maguire and Pogba. And the more I see of Pogba since lockdown, since the restart, the more I want to know what he's supposed to be doing in the team. You know, he plays too deep, and he's ineffective, you know, ineffectual. So I just don't know where we go, to be honest, with that midfield.
But I've given up, Coggy, on it. I don't look at Pogba and think he's going to drag us out. I don't think he's going to single-handedly win us a game when it's 0-0. I don't think he's going to save, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. It's just almost like it's just a... you know, and that's what he is. And he's better than probably having the other options. But I would say a positive was Donny's little bright cameo, but he was also interviewed afterwards and he seemed very intelligent. And I like a clever footballer. He could talk. He was totally spot on about what we got wrong. We were passing it poor. We were too slow. But the preparation, I know we haven't had the time and they haven't got time off. But shouldn't we have played more pre-season games in the little week we did have, or the 10 days that we did have? You know, like, yeah. I know it might be hard to arrange the games, but you offer some clubs.
I'm going to please Nick here by mentioning a certain football team. you know, Wolves, in their first game of the season, was 34 days from when they got beat by Sevilla, okay? And they didn't lack energy or fitness or anything in that game against Sheffield United last week. Ours was 34 days yesterday, and we're using a lack of time, lack of rest as an excuse. I'm not convinced that's it. For me, it was just lack of quality on the pitch and lack of determination as much as anything else. We haven't had a leader for how many years?
Years.
Who was the last leader we had on the pitch?
Vidic.
Well, that's frightening.
I would say, Coggy, your reference is Nick sent a WhatsApp. Well, he was double quick on from the last podcast where he sent a WhatsApp link about your advent calendar, and he sent a sexy advent calendar within literally seconds. So it's like he had that saved on his browser already. What was it? What was it, Nick? What was it for? And then the second thing he said, that we could have a podcast bingo, that I always mention Jose, Nick fucking mentions the NFL, Coggy mentions Wolves, and Shane mentions how battered and smashed he was at some event. So Nick, seriously, don't mention that NFL, okay? Not that we've delayed the podcast for it. I don't want to hear it. It will tip me over the edge today. Seriously, I will come down like The Grudge or some Japanese horror film down the line and strangle you if you mention it. So what did you think of the game?
I'm not going to mention it. I do feel a lot better yesterday than obviously from the game yesterday. Now I've kind of let it go a little bit. I smashed me last night watching it. It just made me feel like we're no further on. We signed one player, so we're obviously no further on from where we were a year ago. Coggy hit the nail on the head perfectly with his rant. And the only thing I could really add to that is it still doesn't excuse the fact that we're Manchester United and our squad's worth far more. And it doesn't matter if you've only been resting for a month or whatever. It's like, I could turn up and play 90 minutes. I might not play to a good standard, but fucking hell, I could sit there, I wouldn't be tired after 90 minutes of football. And we just look lethargic all the way through, and I don't understand how we could look so tired, regardless of its lack of match fitness or practice. The professional athletes at the end of the day, and it really showed. And we should be beating teams like Palace. I don't care how organised they are or they've got a good reputation for being difficult to break down. We should be beating them. There's enough quality on the pitch, and as Coggy said again with the team selection, Ole doesn't help himself, but he can only work with some of the resources that he's got available. And if that doesn't act as a wake-up call for us to go out, pull our finger out, get some more players in, I really don't know what will. So the only thing I could say as a positive would be it could be a blessing in disguise.
But do any of you think it was some Machiavellian plan by Ollie to show, obviously he wanted to win, but he was highlighting a debt.
No, it wasn't like crazy at Southampton a couple of years ago where he played McTominay at centre-half to make a point. It wasn't quite like that, but it...
Yeah, but you say, Nick, you say that
you
say about the quality of our squad. I mean, James, the excitement we had, and I still think he's not, there's something as well as where he's at that isn't happening for him. But McTominay, we've mentioned this, we could have said this before 6 months ago, but he seems to be stagnating and not, he never takes a game by a grasp. We don't, where I said on Friday, I'm well happy with our midfield, but one of them has to do it. And if we have relied on Fernandes for 3 months, when he's not at it, where's the others coming to say, I'm going to grab the ball. Come on, lift your game. And again, I would say it's one game, so I'm getting carried away. But the fear we sometimes have about Rashford and Martial not impacting games and not being in the fucking box, I would hope that it was drummed in. Martial, they're just not in the box at times. And you've got to impact a game. If you've got to create something.
In fairness, Barney, I mean, did we put any chances into the box where you said if Martial or Rashford was there, that was a goal? I mean, we never beat the fullback and put a cross in. Wan-Bissaka doesn't do it, and Shaw does occasionally, but we would never score a goal like Palace's first goal, to be honest, where somebody, drills it down the left-hand side and puts a cross in. It's few and far between.
Mm. But I'm trying not to, because people, the outbursts on Twitter and people saying, I haven't seen us play well in years. You're forgetting how good some of the football was in the early lockdown spell. So I don't want to, all the optimism I had Friday, I don't want to disintegrate and literally keep my childish attitude. You know, I feel like a 9-year-old about United today and yesterday, and that's not healthy. It's not healthy what United can do to us. Shane, I'll go to you, but I will say, listening back to the podcast, the way that you said you didn't like Pantos, something, and I didn't ask you about Pantos, I asked you about circuses, says something happened at a Panto.
nothing is in my conscious mind, but I remember going to Panto as a kid and they started throwing like sausages around and that, like proper sausages into the crowd. And I remember sitting there and everyone was laughing. I remember thinking...
Are you sure it was a Panto, Shane?
What's going on here?
Were they cooked or were they raw?
They were raw sausages, a string of sausages. And I remember thinking, this is all a bit... I don't understand why this is happening.
You couldn't do that these days, health and safety.
I actually think Shane fell in love with a pantomime dame and then realised he had issues ever since.
Shane, we were having...
I've got no problems with the pantomime dame. And obviously then I had children of my own and we live, you know, quite near a decent panto. So my wife would book the tickets every year and we go with a young kid.
I wish I'd never asked.
But you go along with the family thing. We've had like a couple of times, you know, you're near the front.
Shane,
all fed up on stage.
Shane, this isn't in the psychiatrist's chair about pantos.
I know, but you asked the question.
I know, but I didn't expect war and peace. Right, Shane, my question. My actual question.
There was one panto.
Right, this is editing out.
Which was a bit better than the other one.
Right, Shane, my actual question was to Andy, Red News Stats. We were talking about it. How do we fix this? How do we sort this?
Get rid of the Glazers
to start us. Someone put, you know, you should be doing more. Goes back to the Eternal. Whenever the results, people start having a pop at you. We've done it in the mag. We've stood outside Old Trafford with Glazer out things. And the brutal facts is we are not there for another year, possibly. And our money is not going to the Glazers anymore. So all the thing, you know, don't go for a year. They will still be here in a year. However much it pains me to say that. So stuck with them. What do we do?
So just one thing that someone just mentioned there was a bit of the lethargy. Like going back to the game yesterday, like obviously there's bigger issues. And as Coggy said, we're better than we were yesterday. But I think at one point, I guess it's not a blessing, but one of the things from not being in the game is you hear the commentary. And I think Neville said at one point that even on an off day, Bruno looked like our best defender. He was the one that was chasing back and working hard. That's an awful thing to say about, you know, a team like United, every player should be working their socks off. And as Nick said, they should be knackered after, you know, 45, 60 minutes of football that they looked yesterday. And I do think there's some more local things. It's something, you know, the mentality at the club can't be quite right when players are not working their socks off for United. But obviously, we've mentioned the bigger issues before, and it's not going to fundamentally change. We might be a better top four side, I can't see us winning a title until more fundamental structural things happen at the club. You know, director of football's been talked about for God knows how long now. We lose out in the transfer windows every time. And, you know, let's whether Ollie's going to succeed or not, if Ollie loses his job, well, who's the fella that's hiring all these managers that keep failing? But surely at some point they've got to be culpable for something.
Well, he couldn't even wear a mask, Woodward. Did you see? He had his ears folded over with it. For fuck's sake, if you cannot have the nous how to know a mask after 6 months of wearing them. It just makes me feel... Victor Lindelof, we said repeatedly, we doubt he's good enough. We need a central defender. And we're going to go into a season where Ollie will probably want to play him and Maguire together for 38 games. So some of these things go way below what were, you know, our major concerns.
I just wonder if Ollie in his mind has got either Tuanzebe or Menge, and you know, he's going to chance, or even Bailey for that matter. I just think he might well just chance his arm with those. You know, I mean, I don't believe all the speculation you see on the various media, but We've never really said we're going to go for a centre-half, have we? It's either been, you know, Sancho right wing or Jack Grealish or now these left-backs. There's never been anybody saying, oh, you know, Ollie is brief that he wants a centre-half. So, you know, sadly, he must think we've got what we need in the club.
But it's madness. It's madness, Coggy. You know, like we've said repeatedly, you can't keep getting away with it. I mean, there's rumours tonight that Spurs want Lingard. And if Jose's fallen out with Dele Alli, I would take that swap in a fucking heartbeat. You know, we can debate about Bale, but for the Christ's sake, he would improve our squad. Choose players who will improve our squad desperately. Get them in. You know, it's
that
not...
That can't be genuine, can it?
What, the Lingard for Dele Alli? I don't know. Yeah. But a few journos...
Jose, Lingard. Is that genuine?
Well, a few journos who are in touch with Jose seem to think he wants Lingard. If that happened... But if you could do the offer... You know, start thinking shrewdly. We keep, he might. Oh, is he a title-winning player? We're not at that level. Is he a player who's good enough to be in a team that you want? I mean, he's got a player.
I'd have him in the team because of all the son of the squad, because he's a nasty little bastard.
Yeah,
and we lack him.
But would you all play a? I'd play the strongest team he can put out on Tuesday, apart from Henderson in for De Gea. I'd just say
I'd definitely play Henderson.
I'd get some minutes under their belt. And then when we're 3-0 up, surely we're not going to fuck that one up, then take players off after 55 minutes, give them a run out and make them prove you were shit. So you've got to fucking earn the right.
Yeah.
Anyone disagree or?
Yeah, I think is it Tuesday night? So there's plenty of time between that and the next league game. So that's the thing. Players like Pogba and stuff, they don't deserve a night off after their performances the other day. They need to book their ideas up and prove that they should be playing. They shouldn't be in a position where they can cherry pick not to play in games against Luton if they're being terrible in other games. So,
make them
play well and earn the place for the next league game.
There comes a point.
I can't wait for a Pogba performance against Luton like he did against Rochdale last season. Fucking hell, kill me now.
But there can't be a point, you know, insanity doing the same things. And they were all terrible, but 4 years in, when you're still having the same debate about Paul Pogba, there comes a realisation that path is not going to change for this football club. And whether because of the money and the, you know, he's not even on the radar of Real Madrid, but it's almost like the experiment, we knew it was done 12 or 18 months ago.
I honestly can't recall where I've come away from a game and said Pogba has been brilliant in the whole match. He's had spells in games where he's absolutely superb, City away and a few. I've never thought. Yeah, he's been absolutely superb from kickoff to the end. You know, and sadly, I just think that he's a misfit within our squad.
I would say there's a couple of people: David, Mark, C, and Graham. Thanks for your support to the podcast and kind words. Also, Anthony on the forum put, I haven't cared much for transfers and speculation ever since wasting so much excitement on Dio Mirio and Falco. That got me so pumped up, then just utter disappointment followed it. So I figure there's no point in really caring about all the speculation because who knows how it's going to work out. Perhaps that's the way to sort out this thing. I don't know. I do think the way Ollie was saying, maybe I'm reading too much. I think he thinks he's going to get Sancho and he believes Sancho wants to join us and, but poor Sancho would have watched that and thought, "What the fuck? Am I being too?"
That's not gonna solve the main fundamental issues that we've got on the pitch, though, is it? You know, if we've still, you can't hope to outscore teams if you've got a bad defence and just hope that we'll score loads at the other end. If we're shit at the back, we're shit at the back, and signing Sancho is not going to change that.
Are we just?
No, I agree.
Are we overreacting at all, or I don't know? How can I go from that buzz on Friday to?
I don't think so because I'm always the one that's the gloomy one anyway. But yeah, I don't know. Like that's the thing. It's one game.
But you know that optimism, the hope at Brighton.
I don't think we are overreacting, because I think what we're saying is things that we've said over the last 12 months anyway. Our last three home games, Southampton, West Ham and yesterday, we've struggled against teams who put the high press on us. You know, so if I was a manager now of any Premier League club, in fact Luton on Tuesday night, just press them hard, put pressure on that defence, because they don't know what to do with the ball. But that's something that we've mentioned. We've consistently talked about problems with the centre half. We spoke about Pogba and where does it fit in. So it's nothing new, is it?
But I'm sick of the negativity, Coggy. I'm actually where Nick was in January with me. Shut up. I am so tired of that and feeling negative and feeling like I'm just, but that's why I just wanted that optimism, even to last a couple of weeks where you think, you know, like that lockdown feeling, it gave such a buzz. And the horrible thing is what I said during lockdown was, this is great because we're playing well. Imagine how shit watching no fans at games is when you're shit. And I got a fear yesterday that this is fucking terrible, because you're not with your mates. It's a lonely, isolated, flat, you know, feeling. Come on, Nick, tell me. You told me to shut up in January.
We've lost two league games at home so far this year. Two.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, but it's taken that under Fergie.
I know, but we can't keep saying we'd take that.
It's not that bad. I'm just saying that, you know, this squad is, I don't think it's miles away. I think people think that it is miles and miles and miles away. You've seen with Liverpool, for example, they buy Van Dijk and they buy Alisson. It's two players and transforms the team. And, you know, I still think we're that close. I still think Ole's building in the right direction and still getting the right players in. Yeah, there needs more of them. As I said to you before, he doesn't help himself in some of the mistakes he makes. But that ramp back in January, I could see where it was going. We just needed to stop pissing about with the business we were doing and bring in Fernandes at the time. And when we did, we knew that was going to make us better. And now we're just waiting for the next signing to kick us on as well. It's like, we lost to Palace last season and still finished third. And again, you know, we've lost them this season. And no one expects us to get more than third again. So I don't see the full meltdown. Yesterday was a shit show, but I don't think we're in full meltdown over one defeat. And we can't keep going through it every time. And I know I was bad yesterday because I was so pissed off about it all, but I don't think we can keep going into full meltdown every time. For anyone, it's like, we've had such a good run. That Sevilla game's obviously not to our confidence. It's just little things that we need to get better at. Like, we can't defend a ball into the box. Like, we're so bad at defending crosses.
But that's a basic thing, Nick. For all your talking common sense.
You can improve that by signing one or two better players, by...
We're not. So
if you're not going to sign players, then
But the whole point is that with them saying is that we can sign those players, and you know, as long as we can identify them, or if we've got them in the club, it's like, look at Chris Smalling. It's like he's the second best centre half at the football club, and we're not playing him. I can't get rid of it. I honestly don't understand it, and it's like, this is what I'm saying. Like, we don't help ourselves. It's like we beat ourselves each week.
But in fairness, Nick, isn't that even a bigger worry? If you're saying that Smalling's our second best centre half in the club, could well be, I don't know. And Solskjaer's not even interested in him. Isn't that a bigger question mark over Solskjaer as manager than even the Glazers and Woodward and the way they're messing about?
Maybe so. I mean, Barney hit the nail on the head, and you're saying about yesterday on Twitter, weren't you, about Ole and some of the decisions that he does, but. It could be. He's not perfect, is he? He continuously makes mistakes, and you know, I love him. I'm very, very pro Ole. I think he's done a lot of good stuff for this football club. But we keep talking about him learning on the job every single week, and I do think that if we had a better manager in, we would be able to maybe. I don't know. It's not attracting players, is it? But you know, you maybe try and iron out those decisions. But, where you think, but that's why the fuck am I sending my second best centre half on loan to Italy? You know, when he comes back, he's played a great season, and you think. Just put him in the team. It seems obvious. I don't know.
We had heard rumours, you know, there were a bit of tension between Ole and Phelan, but surely that's what Phelan is there for. You know, if he's a great coach experience, then he should be offering. For me, I look at it, you know, the low point, and it's daft. When you say it aloud to your mates, how low I felt about the football, that if they sack Ollie, I'll be so devastated. Not, I understand there's doubt. We all have worries about some of his decisions, but I just feel it'll be a stab at what United represents. You know, it'll be just, we will go further down the line of shitness. Because I'm just so, let's see where he goes.
Well, he's not close to being sacked, though.
No, but it will grow, Nick. We've got four games in the next month, and we now have to win three of them.
Yeah.
If we don't, then the pressure where he was, the breathing space and all that bollocks are kept repeating.
This is what he does, though. You know, he gets himself into a corner and we'll go on a run.
Okay.
And it'll come again.
Right.
Okay. It's something that's happened a couple of times with him being here already. It's just, we just need to find a way to keep that run going and drive into the bigger games and drive it towards the end of the season in semi-finals and stuff like that.
That's fair enough. And maybe, you know, maybe I'm totally... I'm not... I don't know. I don't fucking know half the time.
We didn't even have the full first squad out yesterday. You know, I think that's one of the things that we're not mentioning enough. I think if you've got your first full team out there, you've got people like Wan-Bissaka, who's definitely our best defender, I think he is anyway. You know, you've got other things. You can play people like Donny from the start. And, you know, you're missing Matic, who's obviously our best centre defender and stuff. And you don't play Greenwood or whatever. There's so many players that can still come in.
I get that. But the problem is, Nick, this goes to what we were saying after Seville. He has no squad and he has no trust in the squad players. Because where Daniel Jones is now, you wouldn't trust him to play 10 games this season and help out and chip in. Like Fergie had a genius knack, no comparisons on managerial skills, that he could get a player to come in for 10 games and you'd win those games 3-0. You know, he'd make... Like I was reading in the programme 2008, the squad obviously light years away, but he was able to rest Rooney, he was able to rest Ronaldo in that run-in to the both League and European Cup. And he'd bring in average players, but they were somehow the whole thing mixed. And where our problem is, go on, same beaten track record, get injuries. Well, I've got one last thing trying to light the mode. We've had hole punchers, we've had toilet graffiti, and I'm adding spam fritters to the things that you used to have in life that you no longer do. Never see spam fritters anymore, do you?
No, I don't think I've ever had one.
I used to have them at school all the time. Right, so anything else you can add to that? Hole punches, toilet graffiti?
Well, not that I had this, but it was certainly prevalent in my youth, is white dog shit.
I actually thought you were going to say ration books there, Coggy.
That did come to mind.
No, you don't see white dog shit anymore.
There must have been a different type. I thought there must be a different type of dog food or something in those days. They must have eaten something that created white dog food.
Right, so
yeah.
Shane, how do we win a lot?
Dog food.
Very good.
Come on, how do we turn it around, lads? What do we do?
Tell me to shut up. We're not in free fall. It's one game, just one game, and I don't think we're going to get these blips, and the problem is there's going to be some ups and downs. But in fairness to Ollie, you know, just take the defensive situation. All right, there might be a decision about Smalling that we might disagree with, but at the end of the day, he's inherited. Maguire aside, he's inherited. We're not short of centre-backs. We just got a lot of crap ones, and that's not Ollie's fault. That's just systemic of years of poor transfer signing, the way the club's run. And I think that, you know, he's got to be given time, and he's got to be given time to rebuild. But it's just the concern is that rebuilding is not happening at the pace that's needed. It's because he's not getting, this transfer window is still open, but he's not really getting the support in transfers that is probably needed at the right rate. We probably might get two in. We probably need three or four in each window, and that's the
problem. Yeah. I mean... And like I read the other day, I was a bit late to the party, Andy Cole's interview that he did at The Guardian saying how tough life has been with his kidneys and how difficult he found it during lockdown. And some days he has so bad that he just stays in bed. And I do realise, anyone listening, I'm not being glib. Life can be taken away from you. United in the big scheme of things, but it just gnaws away at you. And it's not a... you know, throwing my toys out of the pram about it. It's just everything. The Glazers, I'm just sick of it all, really. And missing it now, just so badly, you know. Like, Nick and Nathan could tell me if I'm doing this, they'd just go, oh, shut up, you know, have a pint. But you had none of that.
No, that's the thing, like you said earlier, it's that we haven't got that release of just going to the pub after the game, even if the game's shit, and you just like, how many times do we say that the worst bit of the day is actually going to the game? And it's like,
no, that's true.
We haven't got all
the worst bit of the day. Selling,
we've only got the worst bit.
Nick, you told me you loved selling.
Yeah, not when it's pissing it down. No. I mean, yesterday would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, we used it, but I missed, and that made me sad, just missing all the faces, the people you'd say hello to, the chats, the buzz about it. Because seeing Old Trafford when you approach is still a fucking fantastic experience. I would say one last bit of anger, these lot, because I'm fucking a dinosaur, but they told me if you buy these sports games like FIFA, you can't just be Eric Cantona on that. You have to buy more credits to play them. So for kids, if they want to be Eric Cantona, they have to get their parents to fucking pay more money. It's a fucking scandal. I only heard this yesterday. How the fuck aren't people going? That is a disgrace. You pay for the fucking game. That is enough. Don't fucking take any more money out of them. Right. That's I'm just angry.
Very
don't
angry.
Don't mention fucking NFL, Nick. Please.
I'm not mentioning it.
Right, come on. Nathan, is there anything to be...
Don't ask him about the fucking positives.
Yeah, we might win on Tuesday.
Well, then we've got a good draw. League Cup, that's where it's going to happen this season. Shane, come on, lads. We've got...
Yeah, I think we might we'll scrape past Luton.
Oh, for fuck. For League
Cup. No, I think we're all a bit, like, it was made all the flatter because it was the first game of the season and we all knew we'd love to be there and have a pint afterwards. I actually went for a pint with my wife. At the final whistle, we walked into town, I live quite near a town, and got a pint and a takeaway curry. And I sat down in a pub, it's organised by table service, and I was there 2 minutes. And next thing, a couple of fellas come, sat at the table next, and the bloke took his jacket off, had a Leeds top on, and started prattling on about how epic they were, and I just thought, just Jesus, beam me up, Scotty. I think it can only get better, and you know, listen, you know, hopefully with a couple of players back, I think we do need to beat Brighton, and then there's a big game then against Spurs because they'd be a bit rejuvenated with Bale coming back, etc. And I think you know that's what Man United's about. We should be up for those sort of games, up for the challenge, and that would be a good test of the resilience of the squad.
The bit I would say is like, because of all this, you know, there's some bits of United news that you're just missing completely, whereas if you were there and more involved, like, I haven't seen anywhere Nick's confirmation that we've actually drawn that Preston or whatever in the next round of the League Cup. So he could have totally had us all over. I've seen there's been no confirmation that we've got if we get through that draw that Nick said. So he'll find out that we've got fucking Liverpool away or something. Right, Coggy, you're usually, come on, you're upbeat.
I tell you what's good about you. Last night, my daughter sent me a video, I put it on the group chat of my little grandson, who's a West Brom fan, the poor little bugger, 2 years old, with his dad watching their game yesterday. And I don't know if you saw it, Barney, but the first thing he shouted was, VAR check. This is a two-year-old. And then Albion scored, and he's going up, you know, he's cheering. And that was great. Because that, for me, that, although the bit about the VAR check just sums up modern-day football, just to see my little grandson and his dad, even though they're Albion supporters, celebrating a goal like that, you know, was absolutely superb. So that was quite nice. I mean, you know, I've got a Liverpool fan who lives two streets away from me. I dobbed him into the police last night saying he was having a party. Fuck knows whether he was or not. I just thought I'll phone the police and tell them. So I was actually had a good night last night.
Right, where's Nick? Is he still here? Or is he just
take the infant away?
just to chat, I've got a 17-year-old son now, Cog, as you know, and he just turned to me and said, this is going to be a crap season.
But the one beautiful things about the lockdown, only one of a few, was me and my gardening, apart from the cat shit, and watching the games the next day with my boy. And then last night, I just went, we got stuffed. I don't think it's a good idea to start a Sunday morning watching this. No, Dad. So that fucking already. But my wife said, don't get me started. Do not get me started on that today, Shane. But my wife, who doesn't, you know, she's the sane one in this house-ish, she went, but he's got to learn what it's like. So it's almost like you've got to learn what United's pummeling to him, how shit we can be. Right, who wants the last word? Nathan, go on.
Give it Nathan, he seems to be right at the moment.
Yeah, God.
Just like I said, I know I said it tongue-in-cheek before, but, you know, Tuesday, just play a strong team, get them to earn the place in the team, have a good game, and then move on and kick on, and hopefully Saturday will be better again, but we'll see.
There's always hope. Glory, glory, Man United. Thanks for coming on, lads, on a Sunday. I know it's shit to ask you to do this. Cheers, lads. Take care, everyone listening. Cheers. See ya.
Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.